you're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal and producer Trav back, as we always are, in our remote locations. Me here in beautiful Henderson, Nevada, scalding hot Henderson, Nevada, and T-Bone back in beautiful San Jose, California. And man, we're on the holiday week. The players are out of town. They're on vacay, or I guess what is close to vacay in this coronavirus era that we're living in. So for all those reasons, we're getting in, we're getting out today. No guest, just a few headlines, a few business items that we need to take care of. And then we're going to straight into victory formation with the great KMM. We're going to chop it up. Then we are going to wash our hands, get out of here for the week, and enjoy a little downtime. Because, hey, even though none of us are going anywhere for the fourth, even though we're going to be sitting in our homes, grilling or doing whatever alone, it's still nice to get off the clock for a little bit, hit the reset button a little bit, because training camp, and I can't even believe that I'm saying this, training camp tentatively scheduled to begin in less than a month. So we're going to take all the downtime we can in between now and then to get our minds right for what is going to be an incredibly weird, incredibly funky, incredibly entertaining, question mark, 2020 season for the Las Vegas Raiders and the NFL as a whole. But as I said, we do have a few headlines to get to. And this is really only for you guys that are real diehards of the NFL. And truth be told, I don't even know if I would classify myself in that category. But just a few minutes ago, our close personal friend Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network tweeted out that there will be no supplemental draft this year, which is really not that much of a surprise. And for those of you who want just a 20-second version of what the supplemental draft is, it is essentially a draft part two that occurs typically at this time of the year for guys that for one reason or another were unable to declare, or there had some medical issues or yada yada in the draft in April. And you don't see a lot of guys that get selected in the supplemental draft. Typically you see maybe one to two if you're really lucky. But yeah, it's not a big ticket event. And obviously with the world that we're living in and the circumstances that we are all navigating, really not much of a surprise, but that became official just a few minutes ago. So no supplemental draft for 2020. Shocker. And then speaking of something that is a bit of a shocker, depending on who you talk to, the news that has made its way around the NFL this week, the news that has shaken New England to the core, Cam Newton signs with the Patriots. And now we're going to get Kyle Martin Media's thoughts on all this, as we have to do. But man, depending on who you talk to, you either thought like this was the inevitable signing that Cam would end up in New England, or he would never end up in New England in a million years. And Travi, where did you kind of fall on that line? Were you surprised that Cam ended up in as part of the Evil Empire?
Nah, not really. I mean, I can totally, it seems like a vintage Belichick move to kind of bring in, you know, someone that's, you know, not trouble, I would say, but, you know, it's been
had his ups and downs.
Rocky for him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, we'll see what he can do.
I had this one guy that tweeted at me on whenever that news broke, Sunday, Monday, what are days at this point? But I tweeted out, I was like, man, week three got a little more interesting today. Because the Raiders are headed to Foxborough week three. Obviously, the assumption is that Cam is going to be under center for that game. And this guy tweeted back me, he goes, no, it didn't. And I was like, listen, with all due respect to Cam Newton, I have no love in my heart for Cam Newton. I certainly don't. He stole a national championship from the University of Oregon while I was there. And so I'm not going to cry any tears for Cam. But you are out of your mind if you don't think that game got a little more interesting with Cam Newton on the roster. We were prepared for a Derek Carr v. Jared Stidham matchup in Foxborough, or Brian Hoyer. Now, you throw arguably one of the best athletes in the NFL into the mix, one of the more intriguing offensive weapons in the NFL when healthy in the mix. Don't come at me with that heat, brother, telling me it's not a more interesting game. It 100% is. It 100% is a 100% is a more interesting game with Cam Newton under center than Jared Stidham and or Brian Hoyer. with all due respect, or I guess lack of respect in this case. But that's it, man. It's been a, it feels like where the wheels are picking up, which puts us in an interesting position in terms of sports are coming back. Everything's kind of heating up. We're getting back into what seems like a quote unquote normal sports landscape. And yet you look at our country and the Rona cases are going in the opposite direction of where we want them to. And people are still getting sick. Things are shutting down. States are having to kind of buckle up once again. And it really is a very interesting time to see, on one hand, like I said, sports, you know, kind of returning, quote unquote, baseball is in the mix or is going to be back in the mix. We're less than a month from the NBA getting back into action. The Premier League is rocking and rolling abroad. MLS is a few weeks out from getting going too. But then it's, like I said, you have that juxtaposition of things coming back, but things also returning to more quarantine-y type situations. Also, quarantine-y. Someone's probably created a quarantine-y, right, Trav? Like some mixologist out there?
I'm sure there's like an entire quarantine bar menu available.
What would be in your quarantine-y, T-Bone?
Just pour some Jack in a martini glass.
Oh boy. Oh man, real quick. That made me think. So my in-laws are in town this weekend, or this, I guess, week, whatever you want to call it. And we'll get to the Great KMM in just a second. I apologize for the tangent, but it just made me think of them and what Trav was saying. And so they've been here for the past couple of days, and those of you who listen to the pod know that my mother-in-law is a master brewer, a home brewer. And so she came over last night. They were here for dinner. And, you know, we were enjoying some ice cold beverages. And one of the beers that I had on tap, on reserve, she was like, oh, can I try that one? I said, yeah. And the boss goes, oh, mom, you know, it's kind of a big beer, kind of a heavy beer. It's like a 6'6" beer. So my mother-in-law looks at the beer, right? It's a tall boy. She looks at the beer. She goes, 6'6"? In terms of the ABV, the alcohol content, she goes, 6.6? Nothing. Let's go. Let's rock. I was like, damn, what a champion. And she did what needed to be done. And there was mutual respect all around. Speaking of mutual respect and a man that I respect more than almost anyone, it's time for Victory Formation featuring our very own KMM. You know him as our senior esports correspondent. He doubles as our junior draft analyst, and he is a resident expert on all things Southern California. And Booby, are you coming to me live in color from the city today, or your second residence in Alameda? Where are you at?
I'm coming to you live from San Francisco today. And do you really respect me more than just as much as anyone? Because if so, that is quite the compliment, brother.
Well, Kyle, that's what we call a segue in the biz. You know what I mean?
I know, but I want to
I can't
see
be like, hey, speaking of a man that I kind of respect, but I think could do a little bit better, let's bring him in, Kyle Martin Media. That doesn't have a good ring to it, does it?
No, but I don't know. I thought I would throw a line in the water and see if there's any truth to it. But you know,
no, I do respect you. I do respect you. You you will have this distinction for the rest of my life that you were the first person to congratulate me on my wedding, even though you did it 3 days early. You still did it.
Hey, that's really what I was shooting for. I had to make sure that I was ahead of the curve, you know.
You 100% were, man. There was really not even a close second, because that's how early you came in. So you will always have that. We'll always have Edmonds, Kyle. We always will. Were you surprised? I know I asked T-Bone just a second ago. Were you surprised that Cam ended up in New England?
I was not. I was surprised that they got him on a 1-year team-friendly deal, though.
They essentially gave him the prove-it deal, right?
They did. And, I mean, Cam Newton, I feel like he's going to win that job, no problem. I mean, 1 year, yeah, I guess they probably want to see if he can stay healthy and if he can be a part of their long-term plans. But in terms of just the money and salary, I feel like Cam is deserving of, you know, a pretty solid contract. Obviously, like I just said, teams want to see if he can stay healthy, so they wouldn't want to hand out a fat deal. But a 1-year veteran minimum seems like a steal for someone of his caliber. we'll see if it all works out. But if it does, I feel like that offense and that team can still be just as good, because that defense last year was elite and they didn't lose hardly any of their players from that group. So if that defense can return to form, you add Cam to a dynamic offense that you know Belichick is going to mess around with, and Josh McDaniels, don't be surprised if the Patriots still hang around in the AFC East.
Yeah, I mean, that's, and you brought up Cam's health, right? And I think that's obviously always been his biggest, I don't want to say drawback at all, but it's always been the one thing that's hampered. And I'm just looking at it in his stat line right now. And since 2016, so the past, call it 4 years, Cam's only started 16 games once. You know what I mean? And like, if you want to have your franchise guy, you can't be missing games like that. And granted, you know, it was only a game here, a game there. Obviously, look at last year, he only played in the two games. But to only go wire to wire once in the past 4.5 years, I don't know. I understand. You look at Cam and the talent is there, right? He's been an MVP, damn near won a Super Bowl. He's an incredible athlete, one heck of a quarterback when he's healthy. So it does make sense that Belichick, who in all of his infinite wizardry and evil, was able to pitch him on this team-friendly deal. But if you're Cam, right, you got to think, I'm going to come in here. I got to win this job. And once I win this job, let me ask you this. If they win this job, Kyle, if Cam goes 16 for 16 this year, if he starts all 16 games, are the Patriots right now a Super Bowl contender?
Ooh. I would say so, just based on the defense alone. I don't know if you can use that offense and look at it and think that's a Super Bowl caliber offense, but I think overall as a whole, that team has the potential to do some nasty stuff. And if you look at the competition in their division too, yes, the Buffalo Bills were a playoff team.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't sleep on my Bills, booby.
No, I'm not. The Buffalo Bills were a playoff team last year, and you know, the Dolphins still have a lot of rebuilding to do. And then the Jets, who knows with the Jets? I mean, they had plenty of talent added to the roster last year and they still managed to, you know, sputter through the season, even though they destroyed the Raiders. So we can't talk too much crap. But yeah, I think the Patriots have everything in their favor. I don't think you can count them out as a playoff team. That's for sure.
If Cam's healthy, is there any chance he doesn't win that job in camp over Jared Stidham?
I can't. I mean, I've seen a lot of reports that the Patriots really like Jared Stidham, but I just can't imagine them going with him over Cam. Cam has the experience. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, no disrespect to Mr. Stidham, who you got pretty friendly with at the Senior Bowl a couple years back, if I remember correctly. No disrespect to Mr. Stidham, but look, Cam Newton is an MVP. As I said, he's taken a team to a Super Bowl. I have no love in my heart for Cam Newton. You know this, Kyle.
I do.
But if you're looking on paper, there is no way that Jared Stidham should win that job. No way. No chance. No prayer. Cam should come in day one, be the alpha. And Jared Stidham will get his turn, man, because like Cam's not the long-term solution in New England, right? Like Cam's not going to be there for another, what, 5 to 6 years, you
not
think?
That I can foresee. Maybe 3?
Yeah, I mean, 3. I mean, Cam's 31. He just turned 31 a month or two ago.
He's that young? I thought he was older. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, if Cam's one of those dudes who, it feels like he's been in the league forever. I mean, he's been in the league since 2011. And I think with guys like Cam, though, you feel like they're older because just the way he plays, like he's taken so many hits throughout his career. He's played a lot of football too, in terms of the playoffs and the Super Bowl and things like that. But I mean, Cam's no spring chicken. No, not a chance.
No, he's been around a while, but we'll have to see what he does, man. I think again, it all depends and hinges on him staying healthy. If he can do that, I think the Patriots are going to be a threat. And Week 3 at Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium can end up being a harder game than we anticipated.
Isn't that game in Foxborough, KMM? I believe we're on the road for that one.
You're right. We are on the road for that one.
So, Travi, can you confirm we're on the road for that real quick?
Yeah, we are on the road for that game.
Thank you.
Forgive me for misstepping.
No, no, of course not.
I misspoke.
No, don't worry about it. This is really a podcast of misspeaking. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of our deal. Real quick, last one before we move on from Cam and the Pats. If you were a betting man, and I know you're not, Kyle, but if you were a betting man, more wins in 20 right now, New England or Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay. Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
We got to call Uncle Stevie. We got to get Uncle Stevie in the mix.
I'm going with Tampa Bay. I don't know. That's tough. That's tough. Because the Bucs defense isn't great. They're going to have to rely a lot on that offense, and that's a great offense. I don't know. I'm going to go Patriots. I'm going to go Patriots.
You talked yourself into it. You completely flip-flopped in the span of about 45 seconds.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Patriots. I think Bill Belichick gets the upper hand on old Tom Brady.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Patriots too, just because I think their division isn't as good as what Tom's gonna have to run through. Tom's got to see Drew Brees twice. He's got to see Matt Ryan twice. I mean, that's yes, the Bills point. Are good. Yeah, I think the Bills are legit still. Like I ride with the Bills. You know, I like the Bills a lot, but I don't know. Outside of that, the Jets are kind of whatever. I know they kind of took us to the woodshed last year, but outside of that, I mean, like you said, Miami's kind of still figuring it out. And is Tua going to be the guy for right now? He's obviously the guy long-term, but does Fitzmagic, you know, handle business for the first 10 weeks? I mean, I don't know, but I'm going to take New England too. New England by just a smidge. Not a lot though. I'll give them maybe one more win. Maybe one.
Okay. That's reasonable. I think that's a well said, man.
Speaking of old guys, though, I saw this the other day on the Twitter. So Vince Carter has officially called it a career, as we all know, and it got me to thinking. And I tweeted this out, and I got some pretty good responses, some hurtful responses, some people who didn't really even understand the question. But I laid it out there simply: what's more impressive athletically? So obviously, Tom Brady is a 37-time Super Bowl champion, yada yada. But what is more impressive just athletically, strictly talking about putting on your shoes, cleats, whatever, and going to work? Is it more impressive that Vince was able to play in the association at 43, or that Tom is going to play in the NFL at 43? He's 42 right now, but he will turn 43 in August. What do you think is more impressive strictly in terms of athletically speaking?
I would have to say I think it's more impressive what Vince Carter has done. You know, Tom Brady was in the same system. Obviously, he had to succeed in that system, but he's never been an athletic guy. He's stayed in the pocket. He's kept his hits at a minimum. So I think longevity has been easier for him. However, for Vince Carter, you know, he's bounced around the league from team to team. He was an athletically gifted guy, and you usually see those guys break down and deteriorate. But for him, in order to still be able to dunk and hang with, I mean, obviously Vince Carter's not putting up 20 a night in the past 5 years, but I think usually when you watch guys deteriorate and bounce around the league, they don't find a home. You know, they just continue to do that, and they kind of just simmer out and fall out of the league. But Vince Carter was able to stick around, continue to be a leader, continue to get minutes. It's not like he was just T-Mac on the Spurs at the end of his career.
It's a hurtful shot at T-Mac for no reason.
Well, I'm just speaking the truth. Like, I love T-Mac, but at the end of his career, the guy was hardly seeing the floor. He signed with the Spurs just in hopes of getting a charity ring. So, I don't know. I think what Vince Carter did is more impressive.
I'm with you. And keep in mind, too, Vince is running up and down the court every night with kids that are like 19. You know, like Tom is not doing that. I mean, Tom's obviously an incredible champion, one of the greatest champions of our time. But in terms of his athletic, like pure athleticism, it's got to be Vince. It has to be Vince. And all these people were tweeting at me about, oh, what about Jaromir Jagr? Or what about George Blanda? What about this guy? And I said, this was a two-dog race. I'm not looking for every old person that's ever played a professional sport. There's two people I'm talking about here, Vince or Tom. That's it. And a bunch of people got all bent out of shape thinking I was disrespecting their favorite old man athlete, which certainly wasn't the case. T-Bone, where do you come in on this? Vince or Tom?
I mean, you guys are more the basketball guys than me. So I'd still probably say Vince just because, yeah, he has to be more active than Tom. Tom just has to make sure the ball gets out of his hand.
In about 2 seconds.
In 2 seconds.
Although, do you think, oh man, do you think Tom's bones are like at a good place? He's 43 years old. I can't imagine his bones are as strong as they were when he was 25. Like, dude,
he probably found a witch doctor in some hidden remote corner of the world who performs magic on his body to keep it in top notch. You know, he does some weird stuff to stay healthy.
Oh,
100%. Didn't he try saying that, didn't he make some crazy accusation like about water and what it does for you?
Well, listen, let's leave water out of this. I think there's few things that we as a world can agree on right now, but I think we can all agree that drinking water is a net positive.
No, I agree, but I think his stance was anti-water. Let me do a quick Google.
I think because there's no electrolytes in water. So that's why
Tom's anti-water?
I don't know, but I know he sells, because when I bought his book, they gave me like the free little bottle of his electrolytes to put in water.
Hmm.
No, I guess he didn't have an anti-water take, but I remember there's something that he said. I wish I could find it right now. That it's he just holds water on, I don't know, like a magical and spiritual level. And look, I drink a lot of water, as you know, hydration is key. But Tom Brady has like an intimate relationship with it.
Listen, man, what this man does with his water in his off hours, you know, that's none of my business, and that's definitely none of your business either.
That's fair. I'm not disagreeing with you there.
Yeah. But yeah, for sure, Tom does some weird, probably borderline inappropriate things to keep his body able to withstand 16 games of an NFL season. Probably some things that I don't even want to think of.
Yeah, I mean, it's working for him, whatever it is, though.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, what is... Yeah, well, I guess objectively it is working. He's got 17 Super Bowl rings. He's married to a supermodel. I guess things are working out all right for old Tommy B. But I saw there was a great... And as a diehard Laker fan, Kyle, I'm sure you were aware of this. But over the weekend, I believe, it was the anniversary of the Warriors selecting Steph Curry, thus really getting the wheels in motion of the dynasty. And it had me think, and I think I've told this story before, about the night the Warriors drafted Steph Curry. I'll never forget it. I was in my parents', my childhood home that they've since sold. But I was so mad when they selected Steph Curry. Just irate. I threw the remote on the ground. Like, it was, I really had a little tizzy fit about it because Brandon Jennings was on the board. And that was the guy I wanted. But Kyle, I'm curious, what is the guy... And obviously, like, I was completely wrong about Steph Curry. He's going to the Hall of Fame. You can make the argument that the man has literally changed the game of basketball. And that's why I'm not a personnel man. But who was, like, one athlete that you were just straight up wrong about, whether it was good or bad?
I love this question. I know there's bigger ones out there. It's the jury's still kind of out on him, and he's early in his career, but he's still impressed. I think Kyler Murray is the most recent one. I really thought Kyler was going to be a bust just out of the gate. Offensive Rookie of the Year, which he shouldn't have won. Josh Jacobs should have received that award. But, I mean, Kyler Murray is the first guy that comes to mind. I definitely didn't think that he would have the impact that he did his rookie year. And live and you learn, right?
Yeah. Travie, I'm sure you got some good ones. I know that you saw some Raider in 2006 that you thought was going to be a future Hall of Famer or something. What do you got?
Well, I was actually... Originally, I was going to say Tom Brady because I thought he was going to be a fluke. Like, I thought he would win the one Super Bowl and, like, fade away. You know, like, Bledsoe would come back and that would be it. But actually... Pat Mahomes is like one that's more recent that comes. Similar kind of thing. Like, I thought, oh, you know, once the defensive coordinators figure him out, like, it's going to be no problem. Just another bust quarterback for Kansas City.
I mean, I'll be honest. I was kind of with you on that one. I mean, Kyle, I'm sure you remember the conversations that we had with D-Wash about, because I told him that I literally remember me, you, and DeAndre having a conversation where I told him I wasn't sold on Pat Mahomes, and what did he do? He laughed at me.
He did. He laughed directly in your face, and he's the reason why I started to get on the Pat Mahomes hype train. I took him in my fantasy draft, and as you can recall, I was hyping the man up all season long, despite him playing for the division rivals.
You were an early adopter of Mahomes.
I was, yeah. I mean, his talent speaks for itself. I mean, I tried to deny it for a long time because I specifically remember the Chiefs reporter tweeting out, like, Pat Superstar Mahomes, and I quote tweeted him and I said, yeah, I'll never call him that.
I do remember that.
And that didn't age well. So
no, as most of our tweets do. Not, there are very seldom do we have a tweet that you look back on and you're like, oh yeah, I hit that one out of the park. I crushed that tweet, dude. That crush was dominant. That tweet was dominant.
is Steph your guy, clearly?
Oh yeah, dude. I literally, like, I wish I could do a better job of, like, painting a picture, but I was in college. I want to say it was my freshman year. It was either my senior year of high school headed into freshman year, or freshman year headed into sophomore year. But I essentially threw a temper tantrum. Like, I was so mad. I was like, he's tiny, he's 6'1", he's skinny, he went to Davidson. Like, are you kidding me? And remember, like, when Steph got drafted, he looked like he was about 14 years old too. You know what I mean? Like, and oh, dude, I was beside myself, absolutely beside myself. And yeah, turns out he's the one, the leader of the revolution.
Yeah, dude, now he's established himself as a easily top 15, top 12 player all time.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Swing and a miss. Yep.
Swing and a miss. I'm trying to think. There's probably some other ones that I've thought were gonna be really good and didn't really pan out too much. I was a big Freddie Adu guy too. Big Ooh, Freddie Adu really? Guy. Yeah, that one didn't age very well either.
There's, when you just look at drafts of any sport, there's so many misses towards the top. Obviously, there's misses throughout the entire draft, but specifically towards the top, I feel like there's more misses than hits.
Let's play a game real quick. Travis, pick a year, any year from like the past 25 years.
Let's go 2004.
2004 NFL draft. Let's see what the first round looked like. Oh man. Ooh, this is a good one. This is the Eli Manning. This is actually a pretty good top of the draft. So we go, Eli Manning goes number one to the Chargers. Travi, who did the Raiders take number two that year?
Was that Robert Gallery?
Sure was. And guess who went right after him?
2004.
One of my personal heroes.
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitz, baby. Larry Fitz went off the board one pick after Robert Gallery. Went number three to Arizona. Then you go Phil Rivers, Sean Taylor, Kellen Winslow Jr., Roy Williams, D'Angelo Hall, Reggie Williams. I don't really remember much about Reggie Williams' NFL career. Dante Robinson, Big Ben, John Vilma, Lee Evans, Tommy Harris, Michael Clayton, Sean Andrews, DJ Williams, Will Smith, not the the singer-songwriter, Vernon Carey, Kenechi Adeze, Vince Wilfork, another legend, J.P. Lossman, Raiders legend, right, Travis? J.P. Lossman?
Yep, yep.
J.P. Lossman. Marcus Tubbs, Steven Jackson. He was a beast. Ahmad Carroll, Chris Perry, Jason Babin, Chris Gamble, Mike Jenkins, Kevin Jones, Rashawn Woods, Ben Watson, finishing off the first round. There's some pretty tremendous misses in there, though. Like, what was Lee Evans' pro career like?
I don't know. That name doesn't even sound familiar to me.
This guy was a top 15 pick.
The one that sticks out to me is Roy Williams. He was like supposed to be like the man coming out.
And this was at the time where there were like 17 Roy Williams in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Like there was like a Roy Williams on offense. There was a Roy Williams on defense.
He was the one from Texas, right? Receiver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yep, yep.
He was supposed to be like the guy. And like, I don't think he ever really panned out.
Oh man, this is crazy. Roy Williams is only 38 today. Ooh, man. I'm looking at Roy Williams stats. Roy Williams had a really good 2006, and after that did nothing. Had a pretty good rookie year. Had 8 tutties, 817 yards. That's a pretty nice rookie campaign. Kind of whatever, still 8 tutties in 2005. 2006 was his big year. 7 tutties, but 1,300 receiving yards. And then after that, it just becomes incredibly mediocre.
Mm. We all can't be successes, man.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, there's probably a bunch of misses on this podcast, you know? Like, we try our best, but listen, they're not all gonna hit. Sometimes a good role player is all you can hope for.
Mm. And role players are essential.
Yeah, you need them. Listen, to win championships, Kyle, you need elite special teams play and some role players, some guys that can just step in, fill the void, give you 10 to 15 quality snaps per afternoon. Those guys make the whole thing go. They really do. KMM, though, speaking of things that are near and dear to your heart, you teased this last week that you'd have some sort of finality to Boring Game of the Week and how we're going to attack this going forward. Have you done any soul searching in that regard?
I have a matchup for us this week.
Ooh.
I have a matchup.
So we're back. We're officially back. We're launching back into this world.
We're officially back on Boring Game of the Week. You know, after last year's experiment, there were definitely times where I based the Boring Game of the Week off of the matchups that just featured the worst talent, one would say. And that obviously plays a role, because who's going to want to watch those games? But the Boring Game of the Year ended up being two playoff contenders at the start of 2019, which featured the Bears and Packers on Thursday Night Football, first game of the season. Boy, was it terrible. I believe it was a 10-7 finish. Awful. Just awful. But this year, you know, we're going to try to incorporate, you know, all things, all criteria, not just the worst teams. However, this week, we do have some bad teams that are going to be on the in the spotlight. So without further ado, the Premier League has returned, Eddie. As you and I know, we've been watching quite a bit. And that's who our Boring Game of the Week is. For this week, we have Norwich City, who sits at the very bottom of the Premier League, versus Brighton, and they're 15th. So, as you can imagine, tough turnout. There's not going to be a lot of people in the stands. Literally zero people will be in attendance to watch that game, and I can't imagine the viewership will be much better.
Ugh. That is a bad game. And that's like one of those games where like there's not even like really any relegation implications, because Norwich City is so far at the bottom of the table. Brighton is pretty much safe, barring some sort of collapse. But yeah, that is a boring game. So Kyle, you feel you can officially proclaim the Brighton Norwich City game as the boring game of the week.
Yes, I can declare that. And watch, it's going to be a 4-3 match.
Yeah, it'll be incredibly entertaining. It'll be a great game. So, dude, I was thinking, though, because obviously we're going to get into Boring Game of the Week, like, since we're officially back on Boring Game of the Week. But once we get to football season, your Boring Games of the Week will transition from Premier League, MLS, NBA, baseball, yada, yada, back into the NFL. So do you think that before week one, we should have, like, a boring game of quarantine or something? Like, you should keep track of your picks now? And then we could have like a little mid-season award to give to the most boring game of quarantine.
I think that's a great idea. I can definitely keep track of those picks.
So first up, we got Norwich City and Brighton and Hove Albion. When is that? Is that this weekend? Probably, right?
It is, yes. It's actually tomorrow.
Oh, don't care.
It's Saturday. It's Saturday.
Nah, it doesn't matter. You and I, I'm not going to watch that game. I got
especially on the 4th of July. No way.
I'm not going to disrespect our forefathers by watching that smut.
Oh man, you crack me up.
T-Bone, do you have a little time, perhaps a few minutes on the back end here to crack some cold Coors Lights?
Let's crack them.
Let's crack them. Who's going first this week? All right, thanks guys. I guess I'll go. Oh man, I don't ask a lot from you guys. I really don't. I set the bar pretty low. All I ask is when I ask a question for someone to give me some sort of, some acknowledgement. And we hit that dead air, baby. God.
Oh, gorgeous, man.
Dead air.
I wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah, me neither. I will go first, though, and I'm going to crack a cold one to a personal hero of mine, a close personal friend, the great Tom Petty. May he rest in power. Last week, his family released a new version of You Don't Know How It Feels, a timeless Petty classic. And man, it was pretty sweet, a pretty incredible version of the song that I've heard or I've listened to thousands of times. But man, I always think of Petty, especially during the summer, and I'm going to crack a cold one for him. And I hope that he's rocking and he's singing American Girl up with the Angels right now. So this one's for you, Tom.
Bravo, Eddie. Bravo.
Thank you.
I would like to crack a cold one for the legend that is Al Davis. It is his birthday this week. And, you know, it's usually one of the few days a year that we get off as well. Yeah.
But, that's true. That's true.
I would like to crack a cold one for Al Davis just for creating such an incredible brand. The silver and black are recognized globally. And I spoke to Lou Riddick on the phone today, who just couldn't stop reminiscing about his glory days in the silver and black and what's so significant about wearing those colors. So it's truly incredible what Al Davis was able to create, and it resonates with players today.
Incredible, incredible cold one, Colin. Before we get to Travie, how is my friend Lou Riddick? What's he up to today?
He's chilling. I actually felt kind of bad. He emailed me the other day and it slipped through the cracks. So
hang on. 30-second timeout. You big time Louis Riddick?
I wouldn't say I big timed him. It was just a mistake.
So he emailed you but he emailed you and you didn't respond.
Had I seen it, I would have replied, but I didn't. But I got back to him and it's all good. We talked, we had a good time, nice chat, solid 20 minutes or so, and went on our merry way.
How many emails are you getting a day where an email from Louis Riddick slips through the cracks?
Like, it happened. I don't know what to tell you. It just happened.
Oh, man. That is incredible. Truly incredible. I'm also, per usual, big shout out to Lou Riddick, the champion, the Hall of Famer of the bald beard combo. No one does it better than Lou. What do you got, Travie?
I'm going to crack a cold one for you, Eddie, since I didn't get to do it this weekend. We were supposed to.
I know, scoundrel. You scoundrel, you.
Busy working, so at least I did get to see you, though, for a minute.
It was very nice seeing Travie. So I will I'll lift the veil for a second. So Trav showed up at my Las Vegas residence the other day, and I had joked with Trav. So Trav obviously is in San Jose, but he came out here to handle some high-level business. And so he rented a car to get from San Jose to Vegas. And I was joking with him. I was like, oh, dude, you should rent a Mustang and, you know, yada, yada, just scorch across the desert. And Trav told me that you're going to get a Jeep, right, Travis? Isn't that what you're going to get?
I was supposed to just get like a Jeep Wrangler.
Because you had some equipment to carry, yada, yada. So Trav pulls up, he texts me, he goes, hey, what's your address? And he's like, all right, I'll be there in 10 minutes, whatever. So he shows up, and you were in a Mustang, were you not, Travis?
No, it was a Challenger.
It was a Dodge Chart, it was a Challenger?
Yeah.
But I was like, Travis, are you living fear and loathing in Las Vegas right now? Like, what are you doing? Just crushing it in the 100-degree heat, windows down on all sorts of uppers and downers and in-betweeners?
The only upper I was on was caffeine, so.
Yeah, of course.
But it was
good to see. It was good to see that your brand was still strong of just showing up in a muscle car for really no reason. I did regret not putting you to work a little bit, because when you showed up, I was building a chair. I had another chair that I needed to be built, and I should have taken advantage of your services while you were in town, but alas.
There wasn't much to do once I got to my room because the strip's still a little bit shut down.
Yeah, and it's good. You know, you're playing it safe, being conscientious of health and wearing your mask and all that stuff, Travis. So that was
social distancing, even good, even amongst the crowds.
Yes, yes, but yeah, it was good to see. I wish we were able to consume a beer or 19, maybe a couple cold Coors Lights. But on your next journey out here, which I know there will be many journeys.
Yes.
Ah, well, that was a good show today. I feel pretty alright about that. That was, I would say that was above average, not great, but I would say that was above average.
For no guest, yeah.
For no guest on a holiday week, on a short week, when everyone's counting down the days till we're kind of off the clock. Yeah, I think we did pretty all right. I will, I'll take that one, I'll bank it, and I'll feel really good about it. So, for Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, the great Kyle Martin Media, engineer Jim, and everyone else who helps get our little program from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And we will be back normal schedule next week, even though we are taking a day or two off for the holiday. But we will be back. You're stuck with us for another week. And even though the players are on vacation and the coaches are on vacation, we're not. So stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, please wear your mask so we can play football this fall. And we will catch you guys next week on another episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.